理课堂听 class.com
Chapter 43 The next morning was filled with excitement for the adventure to Box Hill. Everyone admired the surroundings when they first arrived. But later in the day, they separated into parties. The Eltons walked together, Mr. Knightley with Miss Bates and Jane, and Emma and Harriet with Frank Churchill. Mr. Weston, however, tried to bring the party together again, although all his attempts failed. During the dinner, Frank Churchill paid close attention to Emma, amusing her and flattering her. Emma, however, laughed because she was disappointed, although she did like Mr. Churchill. She thought he should pay closer attention to her friend, Harriet, not herself.
Emma, thank you for telling me to come today. If you had not encouraged me to come, I would not be experiencing the happiness of this party. Yesterday, I had no plans of joining you today, but I am grateful to you for insisting that I come.
Frank told her. After a short pause, he continued.
I have noticed our companions are silent. We must make them talk. They shall talk. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Woodhouse has just told me that she desires to know what you are all thinking of.
Announced Mr. Churchill. Some laughed and answered with humor. Miss Bates said quite a bit, as usual. Mrs. Elton was upset that Miss Woodhouse was receiving attention, while she was not, and Mr. George Knightley's response was the most direct.
Is Miss Woodhouse sure that she would like to hear what we are all thinking of?
He asked. Oh, no, no, cried Emma, laughing. But there are one or two, perhaps, glancing at Mr. Weston and Harriet, whose thoughts I would like to hear. Well, cried Mrs. Elton, I should give my opinion. I am the leader of this party to Box Hill. I organized the outing, so perhaps I should speak. She continued for some time, although her husband was the only listener. Soon enough, Frank Churchill interrupted.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Woodhouse has declared that each one of you must entertain our party with a poem or a riddle.
Very well, exclaimed Miss Bates. Three things very dull indeed. I say three things dull whenever I open my mouth. She smiled. Pardon me, ma'am, but you are limited to only three, nothing more, Emma warned her with a smile. Miss Bates understood the meaning soon after and looked embarrassed. Mr. Weston soon had a riddle for Emma.
What two letters of the alphabet go perfectly well together?
He paused.
Ah, you will never guess. I will tell you, M and A. Emma, do you understand?
Emma Woodhouse and Frank Churchill. Emma quickly understood and was quite amused, as were Frank and Harriet. Mr. Knightley seemed to understand the riddle, but did not look amused. The rest of the party, however, did not understand the riddle.
I understand now what clever things Miss Woodhouse wanted to hear. And Mr. Weston's riddle was outstanding, but perfection should not come so quickly.
He said seriously. Mrs. Elton soon began to speak. I really cannot attempt a riddle. I am not fond of them. I do not pretend to be clever. I have several other excellent qualities, but I know when to speak and when not to. Please, Mr. E., Knightley, Jane, and myself, we have nothing clever to say, not one of us. she said firmly.
Yes, yes. I have nothing to say to entertain Miss Woodhouse. I am just an old married man,
he said with a laugh.
Shall we walk, Augusta?
Yes, but Jane, please come hold my arm to walk with us. I am so tired after walking all day, Mrs. Elton responded. Jane declined, and the husband and wife walked off.
Happy couple,
said Frank Churchill as soon as they left.
They only knew each other a few weeks before they married, but a perfect pair they are.
Jane, who seldom spoke, began. Although, it sometimes happens that couples come together quickly and thus have problems. Their relationship can improve with time, if both are patient. Frank Churchill did not answer, but looked crushed. Soon afterwards, he said in an excited voice,
I cannot trust my own judgment in whom to marry. I hope somebody will choose my wife for me, will you?
He asked, looking at Emma.
Find somebody for me? I am in no hurry.
And make her like myself, Emma responded.
Of course.
Very well. You shall have a charming wife, Emma declared.
She must be lively with hazel eyes. I ask for nothing else.
Emma was delighted. Aside from the hazel eyes, Harriet could be the charming wife Frank Churchill requested. Jane then turned to her aunt. Shall we join Mrs. Elton now? I am quite ready for a walk. I was ready to walk with her before when she requested, but now is a good time to go as well. They walked off and were soon followed by Mr. Knightley. Mr. Weston, his son, Emma, and Harriet only remained sitting. Frank Churchill continued to speak, and Emma soon wished she had gone quietly walking with the others, instead of listening to Frank Churchill's many compliments to her. She was grateful to see the carriages arrive to take the party back to Highbury. Of course, Mrs. Elton insisted that her carriage arrive first. Emma was content during the quiet drive home, without the company of such a strange group of people. While waiting for the carriage, Mr. Knightley soon came to her. He looked around and then quietly said,
Emma, I must speak to you about your behavior today.
He paused.
How could you be so impolite to Miss Bates? Why did you make fun of her when she was telling a riddle?
Emma remembered and felt embarrassed for her behavior, but tried to laugh. Miss Bates did not understand my meaning, I am sure.
She did understand, and she spoke of it later in the day. She was grateful that you pay her such close attention. Miss Bates was so humble when she spoke of you. She is poor. You should be more compassionate about her situation. She is so humble, and you teased her while in the company of others. Perhaps the others will now disrespect Miss Bates as you did. I am telling you this because I am your friend, so I will be truthful. I hope that in time you will treat Miss Bates with more respect.
Emma was angry with herself on the ride to Hartfield. She had thoughtlessly treated Miss Bates terribly. How could she have been so cruel to Miss Bates? And she had not said one word to Mr. Knightley when they parted. Not one word of thanks to him. As she thought about her behavior more, she became angrier with herself. Emma felt tears run down her face all the way home. Chapter 44. After arriving home, Emma was still upset about her behavior toward Miss Bates at Box Hill. She did not know how the rest of the party had viewed her remarks. To Emma, the Box Hill outing was destroyed by her terrible manners toward Miss Bates, and she could think of nothing else that evening. She decided she would no longer be impolite to dear Miss Bates. She would go to the Bates home for a visit the next morning, and that visit would begin regular visits to Miss Bates. The next morning, Emma went early to visit Miss Bates. She hoped, as she rode past Mr. Knightley's home, that he would see her on her way to the Bates home to show better manners and more respectful behavior to poor Miss Bates. She did not see Mr. Knightley, however, and so continued on to see Miss Bates. The Bates servant took quite a while to answer the door. As Emma waited for the door to open, she heard people inside whispering and moving through the house quickly. Finally, Mrs. Bates came to the door, humble as usual and looking confused. "I'm afraid Jane is not very well," said she. "But I do not know. But my daughter tells me she is well. Miss Bates should be here in a moment. Please come in and sit down, Miss Woodhouse," Mrs. Bates offered. Miss Bates came soon, looking happy and grateful for the visit. However, Emma quickly noticed that Miss Bates did not have her usual cheerfulness. Emma hoped that a few questions about Miss Fairfax might improve Miss Bates's mood.
"Ah, Miss Woodhouse, how kind you are. I suppose you have heard the news, but it will be very difficult to say goodbye to our Jane after having her here for so long. Now she has a terrible headache, though, after writing such long letters this morning to Colonel Campbell and Mrs. Dixon. I suppose this is quite fortunate for our Jane," with tears in her eyes. "But the poor girl! She has such a headache. She is in great pain, and so she does not see how fortunate this news is to her. She is not able to come see you now. Her headache is terrible. I want her to lie down upon the bed. I know she will be extremely sorry to not see you any more, Miss Woodhouse," Miss Bates told her. Emma was interested in this news. She had recently become more kind to Jane, and now Emma felt only pity for Jane and her suffering.
"Where is Miss Fairfax going?" Emma asked. "To a Mrs. Smallridge, a charming woman. Jane will soon take care of her three delightful little girls. She lives quite close to Mrs. Elton's old home. Mrs. Elton would not take Jane's refusal. She would not let Jane say no. When Mrs. Elton asked 2 days ago, at Mr. Knightley's home, of Jane's future work, Mrs. Elton suggested the family immediately. Jane refused. She was not going to decide till after the Campbells' return, which she told Mrs. Elton several times. But Mrs. Elton still refused Jane's answer. Yesterday evening, Jane finally decided to take the position with the Smallridge family."
"You spent yesterday evening with Mrs. Elton?"
"Yes, all of us. Jane's new position with the Smallridges was decided at Box Hill between Mrs. Elton and Jane."
"Miss Fairfax had been making her decision all day, then?" Emma asked.
"Yes, I suppose she did. I hope this new position will calm poor Jane's fears. The family sounds wonderful. Thank you, dear Miss Woodhouse. Yes, indeed. The Smallridges will make her quite happy, I believe. Jane will be treated well. It will be a pleasure. I cannot tell you her salary, but, Miss Woodhouse, it is quite high, and given to such a young girl like Jane.
And when is Miss Fairfax to leave you?
Very soon indeed, which is terrible for us. Within 2 weeks she will leave us. Mrs. Smallridge wants her to begin quickly. My poor mother is greatly upset.
Yes, her friends must be sorry to lose her as well. Colonel and Mrs. Campbell will be quite sorry to find out she has found employment before their return.
Yes, Jane says she is sure they will, but she believes she must take this position. I was astonished when she first told me.
As Miss Bates spoke, Emma did not realize she had been staring at Jane's beloved pianoforte.
Ah, I see you are thinking of the pianoforte.
What will happen to that?
Dear Jane was talking of it earlier.
You must go, she said. You and I must part. Let it stay, however, till Colonel Campbell returns.
Although, Miss Woodhouse, I do believe she still does not know whether it was his present or his daughter's.
Emma remembered the pianoforte, and how terribly she had treated poor Jane Fairfax when she first arrived in Highbury.